by seeking the Christ that we are, we automatically sleep in the humanhood that we are not. Through imperfect senses, we see imperfection, where only perfection is. We see fractional events in passing time, where only wholeness is. We see a finite physical world, where only an infinite spiritual kingdom is. We live in the illusion of division, separated from God, where only the one eternal being is. And we experience the illusion of death, where only our own eternal life is. These are truths we learn to recognize . It was for these reasons that when the hour had come for Jesus to reveal that death has no power over eternal life of Christ, that he directed John to remain on earth in the appearance of bodily form. And it was John assigned to clarify the Christ teaching about the invisible self of God, which is the one invisible self of all men, who then continued the Christ teaching on earth. John remained to reveal the sacred nature of one eternal life and to teach all mankind how to break the dream of matter and to awaken to the real life. The statements of John are alive. They are the real Christianity. They are the very heart of divine life on earth. And we, who yearn to inherit the kingdom of God, given to us by God, before the foundation of this world, must turn to John. I have seen eternal life, he says. I have touched it. I have spoken to it. I have experienced it and can say with God-given authority that eternal life is on earth now. But do not make the mistake that mankind is making. Do not love the world or the things in the world. This world is not the creation of God. Everything in this world dies because it is neither the creation of God nor the will of God. And we must remember this. Only eternal life is the will of God. God has promised us the kingdom of eternal life. And God has given us the kingdom of eternal life. God dwells in us, and we dwell in God. God has given us His eternal Spirit, and as the child of God, the eternal Christ of God, you have been given the eternal life of God. And the moment you awake to your Christhood, you will realize that you can never die. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And here in his first epistle, the Spirit of John reveals that eternal life is now on earth, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. To have fellowship with God, Jesus Christ, and John means to share one eternal life. And John was visible on earth when he was inviting mankind to have that fellowship, to share eternal life. He had made his transition from transient mortal life to permanent immortal life, and was now able to say to mankind, "This then is the message which I heard of him and which I declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in that word sin, you have his meaning. For sin is living in humanhood. Sin is living in the flesh. Darkness means death. In God there is no darkness. We are cleansing from all sin means lifted above the illusion of death. Walking in the light means enjoying eternal life. And this is the fellowship John enjoyed and wanted us to share. We are learning that not only did Jesus Christ enjoy eternal life, not only did the beloved John enjoy eternal life when he remained on earth after Jesus Christ had departed from the world illusion, but the eternal life Jesus and John enjoyed was not a special dispensation for them. Instead, if we are really listening, we learn that death is not the will of God. And what is not the will of God can have no real existence. You can depend on this absolute rule. Whatever is not the will of God can never happen, and therefore must be illusion. Because the will of God is eternal life, this world, which passes away, cannot be the will of God. This world must be illusion. And because the kingdom of God is not of this world, this external world, in all its entirety, must be illusion. When Christ declares, "My kingdom is not of this world," to an unsuspecting world, he is proclaiming that time, space, and matter, the ingredients of our external world, are mental projections without external reality. Everything in our world withers. Everything in our world passes away. The reason is this. Our world contains no eternal substance. Nothing in our external world is now. Do you understand that? Nothing in our external world is now. Time itself is never now. Time is not eternal. Therefore, whoever remains in the time world cannot live in the eternal now, which is the substance of the kingdom of God. You must review these words. They contain the secret of eternal life, and as you review them again and again and again within yourself, they will open up. You will feel the texture of eternal life. You will know what it is, and you will look out on the world and know what it is not. like Jesus, John wanted us to know that all who live in the time world are rejecting sonship in the kingdom of God. This is the secret behind his warning in chapter 2 of his first epistle. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is not of the Father. Please underline that in your mind. For all that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God's will is God's creation. And that creation lives forever. Therefore, death is not God's will. Eternal life is his will. Death only occurs in passing time, in the false now, which passes because it is an imitation. This world is not now. Today is not now. This hour is not now. Human flesh is not now. Disease is not now. War can never be now. Nor human birth. The imitation now deceives man. Everything passes in this world because nothing is now. Thanks to the illumination of Jesus and John, we now stand on a new plateau of wisdom as the ultimate truth unfolds. So please listen with the very depth of your soul. When you live where time does not pass, you will never die. You will live forever. Where time does not pass, life is eternal. My kingdom is where time does not pass. Seek ye first the eternal now, where time does not pass, and all things will be added unto you. My kingdom, where time does not pass, is at hand. The imitation now of the world is always dying. But where now is eternal, life is eternal. Where time does not die, man does not die. In God, there is no darkness, no death, because God is now, not in time. God is always now, always eternal. And we, ignorant of the eternal now, suffer and die, living in the myth of time, asleep in passing todays and passing tomorrows. Man seeks a false tomorrow, a false hereafter. But spirit can never die, because it is never passing. Christ's identity can never die. I have overcome the world of time. I live in the eternal now, meaning I live independent of time and its illusions. The infinite kingdom that God gives you is Himself. Mortal identity locks you in to a passing fraction of time and an aging process, while you resist powers of the world that you think are real. This false identity colors every decision that man makes. For example, we make plans within the false limits of our mind. And we reach for outside powers to achieve these plans. Plans that could never be permanent or perfect. Everything in our life is sized down to our human life expectancy, our human potential, our human capacity. Even our excellence is sized down. We do not mean by excellence that flawless eternal perfection. No, we mean mortal excellence. We mean doing something as well or better than our mortal peers. Running faster, leaping higher, finding new ways to improve our productivity, our performance, our dominion over forces that hold us in a state of limitation. For all of us, this is what life seems to be. This is the life we know. It's a life in the world, which is not the kingdom of God. Many of us were puzzled by such biblical statements as, whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. What did James mean by that statement in his epistle? Not by might, nor by power, said the Lord. We read that, but power over our enemy is always practiced by the stronger nations over the weaker nations. It is not until the human veil is lifted that we realize in our souls the wisdom of God in spirit never competes, never struggles against disease, never wars against spirit, never struggles against drugs and destruction. To be a friend of the world and an enemy of God meant to be awake to the world of material opposites, to the world of good and evil, of sickness and health, of living and dying, and to be asleep to the perfect spiritual creation that surrounds us, hidden to the human senses and to the brain, which measures the impulses recorded by these senses. We are here now to lose our material sense of life. To gain our spiritual reality. Because the divinely ordained path is our path. And to accept our spiritual identity in the kingdom of God now. Because this is the golden doorway to eternal life. What we did not realize is that eternal life is who we are now, who we always have been, and that our eternal life does not depend on human bodies, human heartbeats, or human breathing. As the eternal life of God is independent of all material illusions, we, being the life of God, are equally independent as the infinite universe and the life of God are one. We are one with the infinite universe because we are the one infinite life of God. In this knowledge, we no longer try to squeeze our infinite eternal life into an infinitesimally small human body. Our life extends now beyond all space and time. In that eternal life, not confined to physical matter, unbounded by time and space, we need no power to overcome anything or anyone. We need no mental energy to resist any enemy. Without human thought, we rest in our cosmic vacuum of silence, in the one eternal life of spirit without opposite, knowing there is no one and no thing to overcome. No disease, no germs, no weakness, no vulnerability. No human life dependent on human organs. And in this pure consciousness, we accept that we are Christ, living in the kingdom of God now, the only inhabitant of the infinite spiritual universe. We let the power of spirit manifest its perfection its own way. Now let us be still. Now, eternally now, I am spirit. I am the life behind this entire world. I need no might, no power. All power is in my spirit. Now, my spirit is eternal, timeless, ageless. My spirit is my kingdom, my life, my God self. All the power of God dwells in my spirit. In this power of my spirit, I stand invincible, knowing all my needs are met before I ask. Nothing that I truly need can be missing. I seek nothing. I ask for nothing. My spirit will always appear as every need fulfilled. As I release my human concepts of material fulfillment and trust spirit to live without conforming to my human ideas of what it should do and when it should do it, the power of the Father flows without interruption. Now I am spirit. The days of dying flesh are a memory of a world that never was. The Spirit of God has no opposite. Spirit of God is not atomic energy, not body chemicals, not physical body organs. The Spirit of God is not subject to physical laws of nature. Spirit is not a vulnerable substance that decomposes or grows weak. My spirit is immortal, forever perfect as God, because the perfection of my spirit is guaranteed by God for eternity. And because my spirit has no opposite, I fear nothing. I have surrendered the belief that I am mortal, living flesh in time. I have accepted my spiritual selfhood with total trust. I live, move, have my being in the Spirit of God now. Now I am spirit. Composed of nothing that dies. This teaching of Jesus Christ is the greatest teaching on earth. I acknowledge the Spirit of God as my creator, the Spirit of God as my substance and my eternal life. Shall I deny the fatherhood of God? Shall I sink back into a human dream that I was born in time of human flesh that dies? Shall I deny the Christ teaching and accept the evidence of my five senses that have made Antichrist the false teacher of man? Oh no. To walk again in the dream of mortality would take me back to the human jungle, where civilization groans with pain, ignorance, superstition, fear, and disbelief. For me, the days of terror are over. The days of matter are behind me. The days of waiting are no more. The agonies of doubt and futility have vanished. In the knowledge that spirit never dies, I stand free on holy ground. Life has replaced the specter of death. Christ has replaced the Antichrist. Spirit has replaced the belief in decaying matter. The Father's Spirit is my permanent identity, my life eternal. And the challenge of proving this sacred truth is the mission which gives meaning to my life. Now I am spirit. For God is spirit, and I am the child of God. In the unchanging now, God is always spirit. Can the Son of God be less? Did not Jesus teach that if we are not born of water and spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God? Did not Jesus teach about the now kingdom of God in which spiritual man lives? Did he not teach us that now man is the Christ? Did not John teach us that now we are the sons of God, the sons of Spirit? Therefore, I already am the Spirit. I already live where Spirit lives, and the Spirit lives now in the kingdom of Spirit, the kingdom of God. I must be true to my kingdom. Whatever my eyes see is a lie. Whatever my fingers touch is a concept. I am spirit now. And though my senses are unable to perceive and feel the life of spirit around me, my spirit now lives in the spiritual universe, which is the invisible home of God. This presence of the living Spirit of God, realized in my soul, quickens my faculties, dissolves my material consciousness, transcends earthly attainments and earthly attachments. I am released from all material thought into pure, unlimited thought of God. Divine thought flows freely through my open consciousness. New thought forms and contains new combinations of activated spiritual qualities. Effortlessly, my spirit produces its own needs from within itself. Uninterrupted divine rhythm. Undistorted by mental machinery. Unfolds spiritual harmony without opposite. Appearing to human sense as atomic combinations, reperceived by man as form, texture, activity, material law, but maintained invisibly by the one spiritual source. And in this knowledge, I live. In this transcendental truth of one perfect source, my spiritual self overflows with power. and I dwell confidently, securely, sublimely in the kingdom of God now. Blessings to you.